Hello and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behruz Sajidi. Good to have you with us joining the show. Now, British Prime Minister Theresa May is making last-ditch efforts to win the MPs' vote tomorrow, asking them to back the deal, quote, for the country's sake. She's warned that failure to back her EU deal would lead to the collapse of the UK. May also welcomed the EU assurances on the impact of the deal on Northern Ireland, but the MPs do not seem to be satisfied with that. Now, what is going to happen in the British House of Commons on Tuesday as regards to the divorce deal? What will be the right path for the UK either way, with or without a deal? Let's now go to London, where our correspondent Robert Carter is standing by to update us on the latest twists and turns in Brexit. Robert, good to have you with us. Over to you.
Yes, so it's been an action-packed day in the British Parliament building as the two, the government and the opposition, argued amongst themselves over Theresa May's Brexit deal, which is going to be voted on tomorrow. Now, obviously, tensions are very high given the importance of this deal, and let's have a look and see what they've said. So Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the Labour Party, has made very clear that he believes the government is completely incompetent and that the government is in total disarray. They've been negotiating for 2 years, and they still believe that the deal that Theresa May's put forward doesn't represent what the British people want. And he said very clearly, it's time for another general election and it's time for a new government. And that's something which he's promised he will push for should Theresa May's deal be voted down tomorrow. So a general election could be just around the corner. Theresa May, the Prime Minister, did come back at Corbyn, and she said that her deal represented the will of the British people, and that without support for her deal, the country risks entering into a period of great uncertainty. She also said that any MPs who don't support her deal need to go back and give it a second look. She did also admit, however, and this is an important fact, that the deal is a form of compromise, and the compromises were made with the European Union in order to hit this deal. So I highly suspect that many Brexiteer rebels within her own party will not be very eager to hear that her deal was a compromise, given the fact that they believe that compromise with the European Union is unacceptable in many cases. So that's the situation we have. Theresa May has used every tactic available, including resorting to fear-mongering tactics in order to try and persuade any doubtful British MPs that they should back her deal. And if they don't back her deal, then Britain will be plunged into more chaos. And that's exactly the same type of tactic that was used by the previous government led by her predecessor, David Cameron, in the lead up to the Brexit referendum in 2016. And look how that turned out. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, we got to wait and see. Thank you for that, Robert. That was Robert Carter, London correspondent, who updated us on the latest about Brexit. Now, joining me in tonight's debate will be political analyst Adriel Kasanta from Poland, and also political analyst Andrei Walker, who's joining us out of London. Thank you both, gentlemen, for joining us in the debate today. Now, let me start with Adriel Kasanta. It's a big day for Britain. Tomorrow, parliamentarians will decide about Prime Minister May's deal with the EU. What do you expect could happen in the Parliament tomorrow?
First of all, thank you for having me in this debate. Sure. It's very important to me because I was paying attention and being involved in analyzing Brexit from the very beginning when I joined the oldest conservative think tank in the United Kingdom, which is Bow Group, as its chairman of International Affairs Committee. We remember that Theresa May was closely associated, as the previous journalist said, with Mr. David Cameron, who was against the Brexit vote. He was fear-mongering about the Brexit outcome and so forth, and she was against it. So she happened to become a prime minister, I don't know why, with her minority government. And this is what we end up here. We end up in a situation where no one in the United Kingdom is trying to support her. Even the Gareth Johnson, the government whip, quite recently today left the government because he's not in support of Theresa May. So what I'm suggesting, I mean, what I'm foreseeing for tomorrow will be a tremendous defeat for Theresa May and her deal. And I hope so that the Jeremy Corbyn, who just today said in the House of Commons that he will trigger a no confidence vote. And I hope that in the United Kingdom, when I'm leaving, we will have the general elections triggered. And I hope, solely believe, that Jeremy Corbyn should be a new prime minister, because Conservative Party is incompetent to deliver. They are not. The ruling party, the Tory party, is the relic of the past. Okay. As Peter Hitchens, a very famous a conservative writer, or high Tory, I would say, pointed out in the interview with me, is a hedge fund party. You can buy Tory MPs, you can buy Tory politicians, and they will swing whatever the money comes from. So they do not have any intentions to support the common people in the United Kingdom. They are just an opportunistic party. This All is right. my view.
Okay, let's go to London now. Andrea Walker, let's have your comments on this. What do you expect to happen in Parliament tomorrow?
Well, it's listening to the two previous speakers, it all seems very sad and depressing. I think it's important for viewers around the world to understand precisely what's going on. Because of a court case before the Supreme Court that I won't go into the details of, there has already been a vote in the House of Commons to leave the European Union. And so the trajectory is that on the 29th of March 2019, we will leave the European Union with no deal. Now, beyond that, there is some debate in Parliament about what should happen in terms of doing a deal, not doing a deal, and indeed those people on the political left principally who want to have a second referendum in order to reverse the decision of the first referendum. So, as far as I'm concerned, as somebody who voted for Brexit, Brexit is at the moment happening. The vote tomorrow decides exactly what form Brexit will take beyond the basics of just leaving with no deal whatsoever. Now, from my point of view, I think tomorrow's deal goes too far. And the reason I think it goes too far is because it binds the whole of the United Kingdom into something called the backstop. Now, once again, a lot of viewers may not understand what this is, so I'm just going to take a second, very briefly, to explain what happens. Essentially, there is an implementation period between Britain leaving the EU and us no longer accepting their laws or being under their regulations. After that period, it's hoped that there will be a free trade deal to govern the relationship going forward. If not, there is what's called the backstop. And effectively what that means is that the whole of the United Kingdom remains subject to European Union rules without being able to have any influence over them. It's that bit that's unacceptable.
Right.
Now, it has to be said, Theresa May's deal is going to be overwhelmingly defeated tomorrow, but there are elements of it which are not bad, but it is this backstop that's a major concern.
We'll also come to that at a later point in our show. And Adriel, do you predict that UK will leave the European Union on March 29th as scheduled?
Well, I don't think so. I would also like to point out to the other commentator, he's just representing a quite stubborn view, a very British populistic view, which is quite common among the people who don't understand the EU laws. I think that the UK or British people just overplayed or overestimated their value to the European people or European continent. They think that we are living in a past era where the United Kingdom is dictating the rules to the other countries and can, you know, eat the cake and leave with the cake. This is not what is going to be. And I can assure my friend on the cross in London that Mr. Donald Tusk, who was a former prime minister in this country, and Jean-Claude Juncker will simply punish the United Kingdom for leaving the United Kingdom. For leaving the European Union.
European Union.
What I would also like to add, because also my the other commentator is saying, suggesting that the people in Europe or myself doesn't understand the process. I was from the among one of the first people who were writing for the national interest in favour of high tourism and being in favour of supporting the Brexit movement from the philosophical point of view, and also I have written a pamphlet, British Euroscepticism for the Bridges Group. So, I think that many people in the United Kingdom, they don't understand that people do understand their mentality, their laws, but it doesn't go both ways. Mm-hmm. So British people want to demand.
No.
But they don't.
No, that is simply. That is simply.
Exchange. And it is very, very simplistic, and it is simply post-colonial thinking. So, well. Mm. Unfortunately,
no, it's not. Also,
what I'd like to add.
Listen. I'll tell you what. Why don't we?
All right. Let's have Andrew's reaction quickly, please.
Why don't I respond? Why don't I respond to what was a rather long, unalliterated monologue? You know, I don't know whether this guy on the other end is very intelligent or who he's written for or what organisation he's been involved with. I simply made the point, and I think it's an important point, that the UK Supreme Court has confirmed that once the British House of Commons passed a motion to leave the EU, it will leave the EU. And that is our current position. Now, you asked the question, which I think is an interesting question, is will the United Kingdom leave on the 29th of March? And I can answer it for you. The answer is that forget anything in the House of Commons. If nothing happens now, the UK will leave the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. But actually, I think there is a bigger question there that is implied by your question. You know, will the House of Commons attempt to stop Brexit? Well, actually, you know, that's looking increasingly possible. If there's a defeat in the vote tomorrow, there is an idea in Parliament of the liaison committee, which is the most senior backbench committee in the House of Commons, taking charge of Brexit. And in reality, what they will attempt to do is look at various options, mm-hmm. one of which includes not leaving at all. So I think yes, that okay. as we stand today, the law says we'll leave. All but right. that may
Andrew,
well not we'll, be the
we'll,
case in a
we'll
week's
come
time.
To this, Andrew. If you're a bit patient, we'll come to that and we'll discuss that more. Now, Adriel, Theresa May has warned that a failure to support her Brexit deal would lead to the collapse of the United Kingdom. Is this a fear tactic, like also our reporter called it, some people call it a fear-mongering tactic, or a genuine warning?
No, it's not a general warning. It's just a fear-mongering. It's very typical for the British political class to play around with their voters and citizens. I mean, you know, British propaganda is well known. I mean, with regards to Russia, Iran, and other countries as well, including China. So I think that, you know, United Kingdom is a prime country which is involved in scaremongering and propaganda spreading across the world. So what the other partner also forget to say that if the proposition from Theresa May is rejected, he will have a 3 days for come up with the plan B. Uh-huh. On Wednesday, she will probably go back to ask.
Which is my next question, yes.
Ask Donald Tusk and Jean-Claude Juncker to help her out, because as we can see, they are intact with the Brussels. So she's asking, not demanding. She's asking from, you know, the Britain is in a position of asking. Kindly, maybe, Jean-Claude Juncker, European Union will do something for you. It's not other way around. So that's why they were trying to help her out with her deal by signing up the letter today, Donald Tusk and Jean-Claude Juncker, assuring the backstop with regards to the Irish border. But it's just a letter, and I know that UK policymakers and legal representatives, I mean lawyers in the United Kingdom. They know that anything which is written in the paper without any assurance can be changed quite easily.
Okay, so, let's go to London. Andre is running impatient. He is going to attack. Andre, speaking about
playing. He can bark. He can bark.
No, okay, come on. Andre, speaking of Plan B, what are Theresa May's options for Plan B if Parliament rejects her Brexit deal? Does she have any?
Well, I think there are a couple of sensible options, because actually, the rather sad story that we've heard from the other guy is actually not necessarily true. Look, you know, this is a bilateral negotiation. There are things that the Europeans want from Britain, and there are things that Britain wants from the European Union. And in fact, at the moment, remember, the British are desperate for a free trade deal. The European Union is desperate for the £39 billion £1 billion that comes with the withdrawal agreement. And actually, that's the basis potentially for some form of renegotiation. Now, it has to be said, and let's admit it, that, you know, the European Union government and the British government do not wish to renegotiate. They don't want a plan B. They've spent 2 years on this plan A, and they think it is a good plan. But nonetheless, if it is defeated by the House of Commons, then either there is a plan B or there is a potentially, you know, a no-deal Brexit, which I personally am not as worried about as other people might be. But also, I think the real worry for me as someone who's a Brexiteer is that they're going to push ahead with this second referendum, which will be heavily rigged in order. By the way, when I say rigged, I don't mean people at the ballot box. I mean the question itself will be rigged in such a way as there are only two remain options.
All right, Adriel. The EU is saying that commitments to look at alternatives to the customs arrangement and to fast-track talks on future relations have, quote, legal value and would be treated in the most solemn manner. Do you believe that this would give British MPs the assurances that they're seeking?
To be honest, we don't know what British MPs are seeking. I think that due and thanks to Gina Miller, you know, Parliament got, you know, an upper hand with regards to dealing with this very fragile agreement between the, you know, United Kingdom and the EU. Because as I pointed out from the very beginning, Theresa May is not knowing what she's doing. She's like on a roller coaster. She's just trying to survive. She's probably one of the worst prime ministers in the United Kingdom history. As I say, I think, like, I would like to point out to a previous debate from 2017 and the interview of Radek Sikorski, a former foreign minister of Poland, given to Channel 4 in the United Kingdom, saying that EU would be much happier than having this discussion with Jeremy Corbyn, than having this discussion with any Tory MP, including Boris Johnson, who would be probably put forward if the general election will come up. So, I don't know what is in their mind. I mean, everything is in shambles. They don't know what they're doing. They, you know, saying just populistic things, but law is not the populism. You know, we can shout, but law,
can we inject?
Something different.
Sorry, right. Apologies. Do you mind if I inject some sanity into this? Look, the situation is that everybody in the United Kingdom is pretty torn. We want to cooperate in Europe, but we don't want to be ruled by a federal state called the European Union. Every political party, or almost every political party, is divided on this issue. That's why the future arrangement is so important. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem that we've got is that there is no trust on either side. There is a significant concern that the backstop may kick in. But look, mm-hmm. this idea that any political party is more capable than any other political party of squaring this circle is obviously rubbish. Now, if I was Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the European Commission, I would want to debate with Jeremy Corbyn, because Jeremy Corbyn's a moron. He's absolutely all over the place, and he's got no idea at all what he's doing. Theresa May's government is incompetent, not because she is personally incompetent, but because there is absolutely no agreement on a way forward. If we were to have a vote tomorrow on the various options for Brexit in the House of Commons, it mm-hmm. would divide a quarter here, half there, a third somewhere else. Okay. It would be completely confused, but Andrew, there would be no majority for anything at all.
Andrew, we're running short of time. Let me ask a couple of more questions and we're going to wrap it up. Adriel, Assistant Whip Gareth Johnson has quit his job, saying in his resignation letter to Theresa May that a deal will be, quote, detrimental to the nation's interests. Now, what will be in the nation's interest, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, British interest will be to understand the mechanism of European Union. We have to bear in mind that British citizens don't understand the laws and politics of the European Union. They think, as I said, that they can have a cake and eat the cake, that this is not the option. So I think that the second referendum will inject the insanity. And if the referendum is based on facts, not emotions, because we are speaking about emotions, what we can see what happened with Nigel Farage. You know, he was, you know, just shouting and running, you know, up and down and fear-mongering about the European Union. And he opted out from UKIP. Now he's a political commentator for Fox News. So what sort of people what we have? The people who are Brexiters and supporting Brexit are buying a passports in Malta. So what are we talking about? The common people in the United Kingdom, they don't know. The people who are leading them to the edge, the brink of this calamity, are securing their places in Europe.
All right, Andre.
Andre, answer my question.
Wait for the reaction. I'll give you time. Andre, Boris Johnson is saying that May's deal is the worst of both worlds. Member of European Parliament, also David Campbell Bannerman, is saying there is nothing to fear about a no deal scenario. In which case will the UK be better off, with a deal or without one? Briefly, please.
Without a doubt, without a deal, we definitely do not need a deal. And what we also don't need is we don't need sad individuals coming on saying that we need a second referendum because the people of Britain are stupid. Well, actually, the people of Britain fully understand that they do not want a federal Europe. They don't want to be ruled by Brussels. They don't care what the rules are in Brussels. They just don't want to be part of them. That's why we voted to leave. That's why we don't want a second referendum. That's why no deal is the way forward and would make Britain better off. And you know what? It would give us better relations with Iran as well.
Okay. And one last question, Adriel first. Is Brexit worth it?
No, as I said in the previous interview with George Galloway, it's not worth it. I'm a philosophical Brexiteer, but the purposes and the motivations of the current government are misguided. It is not based on the high Tory motions promoted by Enoch Powell and other very prominent politicians in the UK or British political history, but it is solely dedicated to the fact of serving of the interests of the United Kingdom. And the other guy, excuse my friend, is deluded, because Britain will not have a better relationship with Iran, because United Kingdom is buying, as we see from the Ministry of Defense, they want to set up a new basis in the South China Sea. They want to join American neoconservatives after withdrawing from the European Union in their quest to conquer the non-Western world.
Okay.
So, As we can see, it is a nonsense. The person doesn't have a clue about the foreign policy of his own country.
Adriel, I have to jump in. We have no time. We have no time. Andre, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Clunk. I think your other guest just dropped another name. Look, aside from his showing off about how intelligent he is, what he's completely ignoring is that what he wants to do is make Britain no longer an independent country because he doesn't like British policy. Well, you know what? I like British policy because I'm British, and I don't like the European Union because it is a large, undemocratic, socialist monolith, and we're best to be out of it. And I believe genuinely that that is what's going to happen in the end. After a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing, a little bit of difficulty, watch this space, give us a bit of time, and I think Britain will resolve this issue to everyone's satisfaction.
Okay, great. And on that note, we come to the end of this debate. So let me thank our guests who joined us. We had political analyst Adriel Cassanta from Poland, and also political analyst Andre Walker, who joined us from London. And I should also thank the viewers for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.